I'd like to open actually a subcommittee of the Senate Committee on Healthcare and Veterans Affairs. We have a quorum, but a couple of them have stepped out. So the agenda today is we're going to start with the Safety Commission bills, which are Senate Bill 14, 15, and 23, correct?
Yes.
And then, since this is a historic event happening today regarding the inauguration and the speech, our good committee assistant, Cassandra, is going to be watching. And as soon as Obama starts the swearing in, we're going to recess and feed it in to the screen here and then just watch it here until it's over and then resume our committee. We're running into a little complication for those of you who are here at Senate Bill 25. Peter Courtney and Representative Rosenbaum really wanted to testify, and but Peter has it now on his schedule for Thursday. So I'm still going to hold the public hearing, but I want to wait until I hear what Senator Rosenbaum and Senator Courtney have to say, because I'd just as soon go with the public hearing and hear it, and that would probably be after the inaugural speech. So that's sort of let you know. So be flexible. Sorry about that. All right. With that, I'd like to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 14. And Jim Danra, do we have the sheet, public testimony sheet? And I remember the Safety Commission because I was, I think, a representative when it was formed. It's an extremely important. We decided to have it, and Jim Dameron was the commission's administrator, and it was created to save lives by getting hospitals to report medical mistakes and issue reports so other hospitals could learn from these mistakes. And that was the original goal. So with that, I'll turn it over to you. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Good morning. My name is Jim Dameron. I'm the administrator of the Patient Safety Commission. And with me today is Joyce DeMonnen, who is chair of the Patient Safety Commission. And I'm going to defer to Joyce first up.
Well,
and introduce yourself.
Good morning, Chair Modest Anderson. I'm Joyce DeMonnen, chair of the Patient Safety Commission. And I just have a few brief remarks to make this morning. I'm also the public outreach director for AARP Oregon, but today I'm wearing my patient safety hat today. We really believe that this commission has become a feisty, independent organization in the past 5 years since it was created by the legislature, and that we're on our way to really helping make Oregon the safest state in the nation in terms of patient safety. Some of the things that happen every day, I personally know two people who have lost mothers to medical errors in Oregon. And the story that I'm giving you as part of my testimony is Jill Getz of Beaverton, who is a personal friend of mine. I worked with her when I worked for Washington County. And about a year ago or so, she had back surgery, and she had a hospital-acquired infection, and it created thousands of dollars of extra expense, and not mentioning the pain and suffering that she incurred as a result of her hospital-acquired infection. She was out of work with unpaid work for a number of months, and what's not in my testimony is that she also has been the unpaid caregiver for her husband for a number of years. So there was a whole cascade of effects that resulted from this medical error. And as I note in my testimony, Jill is not alone. Every year, 2 to 10% of hospitalized patients get unavoidable infections. And the Centers for Disease Control estimate that such infections result in about 90,000 deaths per year and add about $5 billion in health care costs across the country. So patient safety is an opportunity. If we can really get a handle on patient safety, it's an opportunity to not only save lives and improve care and outcomes. It's an opportunity to reduce healthcare costs. So this is the kind of work that we've been taking head-on with the Patient Safety Commission. And I have worked in Oregon my whole life, and I'm a native Oregonian, and I've seen a lot of really great efforts that we've done here, and there's a lot to be proud of. And I think that this commission is one of those efforts. It's run by 17 board members that represent the healthcare industry, hospitals, pharmacies, and the insurance company, nursing, and the consumers. And I represent the consumers, and I'm very proud to do that. And I'm so delighted that this body has decided that this year they want a consumer representative as their chair to carry the voice of the commission. We've come a long way, as I mentioned, and you all had, many of you had a hand in getting us started. We are well on our way. We have begun a voluntary reporting system that's working. We're doing, I think Jim and the staff have been doing an amazing job with very limited funds, and all of us on the commission are very proud of the work that they've been doing. And so today we're here to talk about Senate Bills 14, 15, and 23, and at the very minimum, we hope that the legislature will eliminate the sunset clause on the commission so we can continue to work on our goal of making Oregon the safest state in the nation by 2010. And we believe that the commission represents the smart approach to eliminating medical errors in the state. And while we're facing a budget crisis in the state, we ask that you at least consider helping provide some financial support. The commission has been working strictly on a fee-based system, and we're struggling month to month to pay bills. I know this is a tough time, but we believe we're saving money and saving lives. So thank you very much for your time, and after Jim is done, we'd be happy to answer questions.
And thank you for being the chair and taking the time to serve on the committee.
Thank you.
Or the commission. Thank you.
Chair Monies Anderson, members of the committee, again, my name is Jim Dameron, and I am the administrator of the Oregon Patient Safety Commission. I'm here to talk about three bills. I guess I should limit myself now to Senate Bill 14. It's very straightforward. It says it requests that the legislature eliminate the sunset clause that will go into effect January 2, 2010. If that is not eliminated or pushed back, the commission will effectively go out of business next year. We believe, while we started as an experiment, clearly we did, could Oregon make a voluntary program work? Could we find a way to create a public-private partnership that brought many people together around the same table to improve patient safety, to eliminate medical errors, to encourage a culture of safety? We believe over the last 6 years that we've shown that this model works. So we ask that you rescind or repeal the sunset and give us a new purchase on life. I think you have a handout that's labeled Progress Report, January 2009. Excuse me. This is an updated version of something that I shared with the Interim Healthcare Committee back, I believe, in June.
Oh, it doesn't look like we have it, do we?
I handed out copies.
That's the two-page.
Yeah, it's a two-page, two-page front and back.
Okay.
Yeah. And it starts with an overview. And it gives you a glimpse of how we think about our work. And we've organized our work around five themes. And let me just quickly review what those are. First, that the commission has a vision for patient safety in the state and across the delivery system. Two, that we have, as Joyce mentioned, we have a unique voluntary and confidential reporting program that includes hospitals, nursing homes, ambulatory surgery centers, and retail pharmacies. That program is working. Hospitals have been reporting for 3 years. That information is driving change. We believe that we're fulfilling our mission to protect Oregonians by reducing harm and championing quality improvement projects. Fourth, we have demonstrated, I believe, an ability to create consensus solutions to important problems by bringing the right people together with the right resources. And five, I think that as an organization, the commission is becoming an essential part of the healthcare landscape. Yesterday's Oregonian had an editorial mentioning the Patient Safety Commission around a program to eliminate surgical complications using a checklist. The commission and its partners, including the Hospital Association and the Medical Association and others, is at the forefront of bringing those changes to Oregon. I'll stop and ask if you have any questions.
One thing that's on all of our minds is the budget, and so could you talk a little bit about the funding mechanism for the Safety Commission?
Currently, the commission receives no state funds, no direct state funding. We finance our work through fees on hospitals, nursing homes, ambulatory surgery centers, retail pharmacies. We also can include renal dialysis and freestanding birthing centers. So the legislature has given the commission the ability to assess fees independent of reporting status. A hospital could choose not to report information to the commission in our voluntary program, but they have an obligation to pay a fee. So those fees generate about $450,000 a year to support our work.
And the participation, do all hospitals participate, and is there reluctance to pay the fees?
Chair Monty Anderson, members of the committee, regarding participation rates, there are now 58 hospitals in the state, 56 voluntarily chosen to participate. So that's an awfully good participation rate.
And that again?
56 of 58 have voluntarily chosen to participate. And they represent every single large hospital, every single medium-sized hospital, all but two very, very small hospitals. Includes 99% of the hospitalized care in the state. Those hospitals are reporting to the commission. With regard to nursing homes, there's 143 in the state. I believe we have about 110 or 75% are participating. Ambulatory surgery centers, there's 80 in the state. Over 40, about 55 or 56% participate. So we're doing pretty well. Excellent job with hospitals, and we're making our way slowly with the others. We are struggling with pharmacy, retail pharmacy. We're the only state in the country that's attempting to bring retail neighborhood pharmacies under the fold of into the embrace of a reporting program. It's been a tough effort, but we are beginning to make progress. We have Fred Myers has agreed to participate, and we recently got an agreement from Walgreens that they too would participate. So that again has been a struggle, but we're beginning to make progress.
Senator Morissette.
Maybe this is a naive question. Maybe you've already touched on it before, but how do hospitals participate? What kind of a checklist do they use, or in connection with what you're doing? Just a general overview.
Chair Monty Anderson, Senator Morissette, the Patient Safety Commission works with hospitals in a number of ways. Fundamentally, again, we have a reporting program. We have created a reporting format that says we define what we mean by a medical error. We call them adverse events. Mm-hmm. And for every time one of those occurs in a hospital, we expect hospitals to report information about that event, a description of the event, a summary of what we call a root cause, but really why did it occur, why did the hospital think it occurred, and what is the hospital doing to fix it, what is their action plan. That becomes part of our data set. We get about 100 and... I think in 2008 we had about 120 such reports to us across the state. And then we take that and we say, all right, we pool that information and we try to make sense of it. What are the common themes? What are the common causes? What are the common solutions? And then we feed that back to the profession and to the state. Last year, we found there were an awful lot of what we thought too many cases of surgery where there were retained objects, sponges, instruments, things left in a patient after surgery. We had 20-something of those in the state. There were lots of different reasons, but we put together, so we found that was the basic epidemiology. a lot of these. Solution, we put together an expert panel. We brought together surgeons, anesthesiologists, nurses, quality improvement experts. We asked them to look at our data in confidence and to offer some recommendations. They came back with a white paper that said, here's what we think is going on. Here's what we think are a set of smart solutions. And we endorsed those at the board level, and then we put those in play. Learn about information, try to create a best practice, move that out to the state. That's pretty much our model, and we do that in lots of different ways.
Do some of the hospitals, do many of the hospitals recognize that it is a systemic problem and they have to deal with it as a systemic problem?
Chair, mine is Anderson. Senator Moore said, I think more and more, and I think that the Patient Safety Commission represents the approach that says medical errors are about systems issues, about communications, about resources, about staffing, and it's more about that than it is about finger-pointing that a physician or a nurse or a pharmacist somehow made an error. We believe that probably 70 or 80% of all medical errors have at root some sort of systemic problem. And little by little, I believe that the profession, hospitals, also see that. So I think that the world is changing, and I believe that the commission is fundamentally part of that change.
Thank you.
Yes, Senator Bates.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. This is an aside. It was interesting. Last night I was at Scott Gallant's retirement party. This was his baby, and he put it together back in 2003 at the request of the Oregon Medical Association, because physicians were very worried about these same issues you're worried about, and I appreciate the good work you've been doing for the last few years. Senator Morissette's questions were the ones I really wanted to ask to a certain degree, too. You know, we call these, in the hospital setting, we call them sentinel events when something bad has happened to a patient, and we're required to investigate those at the local hospital setting. But we never were able to share that with other hospitals, and we weren't able to share it with the staff. I did it for 4 or 5 years at my two hospitals, and this was the only way we could think of to get this information out so the same errors didn't occur over and over again at different facilities around the state. So I appreciate the work you're doing. I think you've taken the right approach to it, and the question now is, how do we expand your work and how do we maintain that work? The British call this medical misadventures. We call them sentinel events. You call them adverse. Whatever you call them, they're terrible mistakes and people get hurt. And 99% of the cases we've looked at is exactly what you said. It's an error inside the system, not the error of any one individual. But that doesn't matter to the patient. And we almost reached a point in our hospital settings now where if you go to the hospital and you're a patient, you have to have an advocate next to you at your bedside to make sure the medications you get are appropriate, the dosages are appropriate, they operate on the right foot, or whatever else is going on. And it's because the system has become so complex. So, Madam Chair, I would strongly recommend that we remove the sunset. I also think it's a responsibility, quite frankly, and this is another bill we're going to look at this morning, it's a responsibility of the hospitals and the pharmacies and the nursing homes to fund this organization. They're the ones that need this the most, and the amount of money they're putting into it compared to their book of business is a pittance, a mere pittance. And they can easily afford to fund this organization properly. We've run them on a shoestring for years, and it's now time to step up, make them permanent, give them a real funding source that's permanent, and a funding source that's adequate so they can get this job done for us and make our patients safer in our state. Thank you for your good work.
All right. Now, would the committee like to hear all three bills before we work session any of them? Or are you ready to work session the repealing?
It's your call, Madam Chair.
All right. Then I'd like to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 14 and open a work session on Senate Bill 14.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator.
I move Senate Bill 14 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Senator Cruz has moved Senate Bill 14 to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered. And Dr. Bates, would you like to carry?
I would be pleased to carry that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And, you know what? I was so excited about this, I forgot to call up Dr. Higginson. But you can give an afterthought.
Madam Chair, when you've got your bill passed, you probably should stop talking.
No.
Good morning, and for the record, I'm Dr. Grant Higginson, Administrator of the Office of Community Health and Health Planning, Department of Human Services, Public Health Division, and seeing that the bill is already moving forward, knowing that you guys are real busy, I'm just going to say good bill, do pass Senate Bill 14.
Great.
Vice right. Grant.
All right. With that, I'd like to open a public hearing on Senate Bill
15.
Mr. Dameron.
Thank you. Chair Marnie Anderson, members of the committee, Senate Bill 15 and really Senate Bill 23 go together. Hard to talk about one without the other. One creates a framework for the other. Senate Bill 15, however, asks that the state contribute funds to support the work of the Patient Safety Commission. Currently, as I said, we receive funds from the private sector. Originally, the intent was that the commission would embody a public-private partnership, both by the composition of the board and the governance structure of the board, members appointed by the governor, confirmed by the Senate, public mission, but with many people, non-governmental people, around the table making decisions in the name of good patient safety. The original model was, back in 2003, the first proposal was that 30% of the budget would come from the public sector. That was not passed, but that was the original idea, and we believe that it's still a good idea. We believe that the commission's work is a public good. The commission's work is about making Oregonians safe. It's a bit of public health. It's a bit of trying to modify the delivery system. It's a bit of trying to figure out how to create good patient advocates. As Senator Bates mentioned, it's more and more who is at your bedside. There's a role for everybody in this. It will only work if everyone has a clear role. And it costs money. And we get $450,000 from the private sector. It is perhaps a pittance from an $18 billion industry. However, again, it's a tough time to be asking for general fund support. But we believe, and we struggle. I mean, I don't know. I believe we're doing great work. We are this four, pages, a two-page document that lists all our work. We're doing things that I think are really fundamentally changing healthcare. Our North Star goal, we will be the safest state in the country, is gaining traction. We put out a benchmark on where hospitals are right now with regard to those benchmark patient safety goals. We'll measure again in 6 months and a year. We're working with physicians trying to improve surgical quality. We're working with hospitals and nursing homes. We're doing an awful lot of what I believe are fundamentally important things. But we're doing it with a staff of 3.7 people. We're doing it with a small budget. I once thought $450,000 was a lot of money, but it's not. And so we're here to say, based on what we believe is our good work, based on what we believe should be a true public-private enterprise, with the state having a stake in what we do, we're here to ask for $200,000 per year, $400,000 per biennium, to support the public piece, and that would be about a third of our budget as it currently is composed.
Senator Morissette.
Thank you. a couple of questions. In my health committee, we deal with long-term care issues, assisted living nursing home, assisted living residential care nursing homes. Do you deal with the community system, like residential care and assisted living, as well?
Yeah.
And how do you deal with them?
Chair Monty Anderson, Senator Morissette. We are, by statute, we work with six kinds of organizations, and that's all healthcare facilities and retail pharmacies. So that's only long-term skilled nursing facilities. It's not community-based care as of yet. However, we are working closely with a consortium of folks around transitional care issues in nursing homes. So we have expanded further. We've been dealing with how do we eliminate pressure ulcers in mostly elderly folks, chronically ill people, across the healthcare continuum. So there's a group working with hospitals, nursing homes, community-based care to say, why do folks move from one setting to another? Why are they at higher risk of getting pressure ulcers? And so that's our first foray into transitional care issues. And I think that we are well poised to do that, and we are eager to expand the work of this transitional care project on pressure ulcers to additional projects.
Okay. Do you get support from the nursing home industry?
Chair Monty Anderson, Senator Morissette, about 20% of our current budget comes from fees on nursing homes.
Good. Thank you.
Yes.
Madam Chair, I would ask that we table this discussion and get a little more information. I would very much like to see from the Commission a business plan of where they want to expand, what their vision is for the future, and based on that business plan, what their real budget is, not the present one, what your real needs financially are. And I would then at that point, and hope we can get that done in the next few weeks. I imagine you probably have this already, and you know it's in the rifle ready to pull the trigger, so I figure you probably got it already. And I like to sit down with the Hospital Association, the IPAs, and the nursing homes and say, okay, this are the real needs. These people are doing the job you want them to do. We're making organs safer. You're protecting your own organization and protecting patients. Considering this is an $18 to $22 billion industry annually in this state, well, let's figure out how to fund this on an ongoing basis, index that funding, and make sure these people have the money they need to do the job we want them to do. Unfortunately, we are facing an incredible budget deficit that none of us can have foreseen. And while this is a minor amount of money, everything adds up, and every penny is going to add up before we're through with this session. If you would allow me to do that for a couple of weeks,
I don't think we need to table it. I wasn't planning to move it at all today, but it's important to have that discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with everything Senator Bates said, but by the same token, this is a public good, and I think we need to demonstrate that, and I think the state having some skin in the game is probably important long term. So, and understanding the crunch we're in right now, but the state needs to have a presence financially and otherwise in this, simply because it is the public good we're talking about.
Madam Chair, in response, I agree. And in my devious little mind, as a ways and means guy, I got an idea of how to do that.
Okay.
Because some of the people being treated in this are Medicaid individuals. I think we have a chance here for some federal match money. And some of the good will be coming from those organizations, and that's general fund money flowing through our managed care organizations for Medicaid patients. So I'd like to have that conversation and see if we can get some skin in the game for the state and mainly get you the funding you need to do the job you need to do in a more robust way. Thank you, Madam Chair.
It's good input. Other discussion? With that, I'd like to close. I had Joyce.
You've
done it.
Does she want to come back up?
I'm good.
Okay. So I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 15, and I'd like to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 23. And again, Joyce and Jim are on it, and Dr. Higginson.
Chair Martin. Barney Anderson, members of the committee. Senate Bill 23 creates the framework for the state to allocate monies to the Patient Safety Commission. So it creates the framework. There's no dollars attached to 23. 15 is the revenue piece, but 23 would. Well, really, it would do three things. I'm thinking about the money piece at the moment. So is it appropriate that I sort of give an overview of... Okay. It does three things, at least. One is that it creates a role for the Patient Safety Commission as a central collection agency in Oregon for information collected by other patient safety organizations. Now, patient safety organizations are a concept created by the federal government to create a voluntary program of reporting sentinel events, medical errors, adverse events at the federal level. And then it creates a certification process whereby groups can come forward and declare themselves, if they can meet some basic tests, as a patient safety organization. In November, the commission was certified by Health and Human Services at the federal level as a PSO, patient safety organization. There may be others blossoming in the state. What we're really asking for is to you to give us the homework assignment of making sure that if others come forth, that there is one place where all this information can reside. Simple as that. Second, we 23 ask that the Department of Revenue collection unit be available to the Patient Safety Commission. As we've discussed, the commission receives its funding currently from fees assessed against various kinds of facilities. And I think I'm remiss in not answering a question earlier about how well are we doing. I'll answer that now. We're doing about, of the fees that we assess, we get about 90 or 95%. There's about $30,000 that we have collected from 2008 out of that $450,000 that we collect. So we're doing reasonably well. But with our small staff, it's burdensome to constantly be sending reminder letters, please send your fee. So we think that this is a tidy solution to ask the Department of Revenue Collection Agency to help us out here. And that would be budget neutral, I believe. We're talking about 50, maximum 100 in arrears statements a year. And lastly, 23 creates the framework for receiving general fund support. And that's outlined in the bill, and it would require that the commission every biennium submit to Department of Administrative Services a budget, a request for a general fund appropriation. It would then authorize DAS to take that to the Legislative Assembly as part of the governor's biennial budget. So if we're asking you for money, this creates essentially the mechanism and the accountability model for doing that. And it would fold the commission's piece into the approach that state government generally uses. But it would use DAS, or Department of Administrative Services, essentially as our agent. If the legislature said yes, that money would flow to Department of Administrative Services, and they would then make a direct allocation to the commission. You would then, the legislature would then, would have direct financial oversight of that portion of our budget. You currently do not. Our budget is created by administrative rule, and we're responsible to the people of the state for an open and transparent budget process, but we don't come to you every year or every 2 years and say, here's our budget, is it okay? For the portion that we would get, we would do that. Is it okay? Does it make sense? And so there's an accountability model built in to Senate Bill 23.
Is there a way to, and I'm going back to the economic times that we're in right now, to relook at this, because I think elements of it are very important, but to come back with maybe some amendments where it wouldn't have a fiscal... Or should things just go as they are? I'm concerned again about any bill that would require funding. And I know it's a Weisman thing, and I know that we can pass bills that we think are a good idea and then send them to Ways and Means to die. And we've been given instructions that we don't want that. So we want a bill that would, due to the economic times, I'm not saying this couldn't happen in the future, but due to the economic times, relook at what you're asking. And Senator Cruz, yeah.
I just follow up on what the chair is saying here. Jimmy said that the turning over collections, Department of Revenue, is budget neutral. I would like to have some documentation that shows it to be budget neutral. But the other part of it, Chair, is with what Senator Bates, the group he's putting together, mm-hmm. on the previous bill, before we send forward a bill with, you know, if indeed we're going to do some general fund allocation here, this bill is important. But I think that issue needs to be resolved at the same time. And then if that's resolved appropriately to where we're going to do that, then that part of this bill is fine at that point. So I have no problem setting up the structure per se, but if we're not going there at this point, we shouldn't be setting up that structure. So I think I'd just like to have some assurance that from Department of Revenue, this is budget neutral from their perspective, and then see what the result of the work group's going to be on 15 before we move this.
Madam Chair, I think Senator Cruz, I think, is spot on. Looking at this bill, if I'm reading it properly, we're talking about Section 3. We're talking about, this bill does two things. One, it sets up a central depository for looking at errors. And the second part of the bill, which is apparently Section 3, is the mechanism we're talking about for funding from general fund. And obviously, from my point of view, you need everything but Section 3, and we can look at an amendment to it, as the chair has asked later, to amend the bill if we take Section 3 out. And Senator Cruz, I think you're absolutely correct. We're kind of putting the cart before the horse here, and we should look at some other things. My first sense is that most of these organizations you're dealing with are licensed in this state, either it's hospitals or ambulatory care centers or nursing homes or IPAs, and a very simple way of dealing with it in most of these cases is you make that part of their licensing fee. And trust me, they're not going to want to lose their license because they haven't paid you, okay? And so that's an avenue which we commonly use in other agencies to make sure these fees come in. And if you spread this across a very broad base of groups, it's going to be a minimal amount of money. I don't think there'll probably be much resistance to it. It's a way, you got to find a good mechanism for you to get this taken care of. And I'm sure Senator Cruz will be helpful to me in doing that. And we'll look forward to getting that done as quickly as we can for you.
Senator Morissette.
Jim, you've been designated by the Department of Health and Human Services as a PSO, Public Safety Organization. Does funding come with this honorable designation?
Chair, mine is Anderson. Senator Morissette. The simple answer is no. No. The model is that the federal government hopes that by allowing organizations to collect confidential information, they will have a new source of insight that they can then package and market back to folks. So that remains to be seen whether there is a robust market for that, and it remains to be seen how the commission would handle that. But no, there are no dollars attached to the zero.
Chair.
Yeah.
You know, the state of Oregon is ahead of everybody on this stuff. We're the ones breaking the ground here, and this organization, I think, is one of the finer things we've done. And I don't think there's anybody at this dais that doesn't support the work they're doing. It's just simply a matter of structure and where the dollars come from at this point in time. And Senator Bates, I'll be more than happy to work with you on this.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, Chairwoman Sanderson and members of the committee, if I could just add something again, Grant Higginson for the record, just to try to provide some clarity on Section 3, that this is not tied to the budget request. In fact, that was one of the odd things, is that when we started talking at the commission about how the commission might get state general funds, there was no standard mechanism to do that other than to bring forward a separate bill. So really what Section 3 is saying is in the future, the commission needs to work like other state agencies, develop a budget prior to the session, run it through the process through the Department of Administrative Services and the governor's office, so it would become to you as part of the regular budget process rather than a separate bill. So it really doesn't have anything to do with the funding right now. It's a future mechanism that makes it more consistent with the way state government runs.
Yes, Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have two questions, if I may. Have you had any attempts to penetrate the confidentiality component of the statute?
We're just getting notice that the swearing-in is starting.
Oh, you'll have to wait for your answer.
So you're going to have to wait for your answer?
Okay. And my second question, Madam Chair, so you can be thinking about it, is if we were to survey the providers, what would be their response? Has the commission made a difference, and in what way?
There's the picture from the balustrade of the Capitol.
It looks... Yes. With that, we're going to recess until 9:30. The President-elect of the United States.